Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti. I'm here with Steve Garcher.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Great. How are you?
Good.
And we're here again today to talk a little bit about the Word of God and maybe approach some things in a little more interesting way or a little different way than you're used to. And we never know exactly what's going to happen on this show because we don't spend like 12 hours rehearsing. So we just kind of let the Holy Spirit know. We spend not even 12 minutes rehearsing. And we just kind of let the Holy Spirit do the flow. And he always comes through and it always comes out all right, even when our plans kind of go awry. But I hope you all had an awesome Easter weekend and an awesome Resurrection Day.
Yes.
And it was beautiful weather and it was great going to services and hearing God's word and just experiencing everything that happened that weekend. And the last time we talked about the Passover and all the connections, not only to Easter, but to Jesus, the Messiah himself. And today we're going to take, kind of in a logical order, we're going to do a little, teaching here on the road to Emmaus. We're going to take the version that's in Luke chapter 24. And that, of course, happened what we would call Easter evening. And so it kind of follows. It was on the same day as the women went to the tomb on Easter morning and so forth. And there's, like everything else in the scripture, there's some great lessons here that we can all learn from. And I think we're going to start by having Steve read the passage. And if you have your Bibles ready, you can turn to Luke chapter 24. We're going to go from verse 13 to 45. So, Steve, why don't you go ahead and read that, and then we'll start talking.
Okay. Now that very day, two of them were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Clopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, Have you anything to eat? They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them then, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
Ooh. That's awesome. I think Steve does a great job of reading. That's why I had him read that. One of the reasons. Very powerful passage and a very interesting story when you think about what's going on. The fact that these men, and we're going to talk about these men in some detail. We only know one of their names, who's Cleopas, I guess would be the way to say it. And there are some traditions that say that he was married to the Virgin Mary's sister. There's no way to really prove that, but interesting anyway. The other person who's involved in this story, we don't even know his name. So it's Cleopas and Mr. X that are walking on the road. And interesting, the setting, of course, is Sunday night. And, you know, in Jewish time, depending if the sun had set yet, it might have actually been Monday by then, but it was Resurrection Day at the end of the day.
The first day of the week?
First day of the week. And here's these two guys, they're walking to Emmaus. And it says that it's a village about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And, you know, these two guys are walking, and to walk 7 miles, if you're walking sort of a normal clip, would probably take you at least 2 to 2.5 hours. An average person walks about 3 miles an hour at a normal pace. Mm-hmm. But I kind of think these guys were walking kind of slow, because, you know, it tells us that they're sad and they're, you know, I kind of get the impression they're kind of trudging along. And
probably stopped at the rest area.
Stopped at the rest area.
At a Starbucks.
They're tired at the end of the day. And yeah. And they're kind of trudging along the road. But the worst part of this is that they're sad. They're very discouraged. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that in a minute. But, you know, these two men presumably had been with Jesus and his company of people. And it sounds like they had, you know, close experience with them. And it sounds like they knew not only Jesus, but, you know, sort of the whole crew of people that were hanging around with him. And they probably had been hanging around with him as well. Mm-hmm. And interesting, the two of them were going away from the city. You know, there's a prophecy in Zechariah. I talked about Zechariah last time. Get into that book of Zechariah because it's really awesome. You know, in the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 7, there's a prophecy about, I'll strike the shepherd and the sheep will be dispersed.
Yes.
And at this point, the sheep have pretty much
been dispersed.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are hiding in the upper room. Thomas is wandering around somewhere. He's, you know, totally bummed out and we don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, if he went to get pizza or what, but he wasn't with the rest of them. These two guys, you know, Cleopas and Mr. X, they're walking along the road. And so the sheep have already been dispersed. And these guys are downcast and they're sad. Because as they see it from their point of view, Jesus, who they were following, who they were pretty sure was the Messiah, he had been killed. Everybody had taken off. You know, everyone other than John and Jesus' mother had pretty much taken off and were in hiding. And they're going to this road. They're going down the road and they're going to Emmaus, 7 miles away. Now, we don't know why they're going there, but we don't know whether they're going home. We don't know whether they're just getting out of the city. We don't know exactly, but by this time of the day, they're trudging along, they're confused, they're tired, and they're sad. And even when Jesus joins up with them, you know, he points out to them that they're sad. Mm-hmm. So it was probably pretty noticeable. And, you know, he goes into kind of what their concept of the Messiah was. You know, he was a great prophet. He did all these awesome things. We thought he was going to redeem Israel. You know, we just kind of thought this was going to be the guy who was going to do it. You know, a lot of people at this time kind of had the concept of what Messiah was. You know, he was going to be a powerful leader. Maybe he was going to come in, like we said last time, instead of riding on a donkey, he was going to come on a white horse with an army behind him, right. And he was going to get rid of the Romans. Mm-hmm. He was going to take the kingdom back, and, you know, all the prophecies about how he was going to sit on the throne of David and rule the kingdom. And, you know, they thought, man, we're finally going to get rid of these Romans. We're finally going to get the kingdom back. And now all of a sudden, then he got delivered up to their high priests and he was killed. Now they know that for sure, that he had been killed, and they sound, you know, really down about that, obviously.
Right.
And they mentioned that, you know, there was some news from these women that, you know, his body wasn't in the tomb and maybe he had risen from the dead. But, you know, it doesn't sound like they were really, you know, kind of processing that.
No.
I mean, it didn't sound like they were believing it.
They weren't believing much of anything at that point. You know, if you look back into the 18th chapter of Luke, verse 31, where he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And everything written by the prophets and the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. And after that, they scourged him. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. But on the third day, he will rise." And in verse 34, it says, "But they understood nothing of this. The word remained hidden from them, and they failed to comprehend what he said."
Yeah.
So as this is all unfolding, you know, as we go through the Passion, Holy Week, the Passover, Good Friday, mm-hmm. and then Easter Sunday, it's kind of easy for us to see, because we have the whole New Testament in front mm-hmm. of us, that, oh, well, yeah, this happened, you know,
yeah.
it's right there. But if we place ourselves in the place of the disciples, they were looking for the restoration of Israel. They were looking for a redeemer to restore Israel. And even though Jesus, or as you say, his mother Mary would call him Yeshua, would tell him this. And he would tell them, you know, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it right now." So we can, as we look through the scripture, we see that before his passion, he's telling his disciples what's going to take place, and they didn't understand it. And even though he spoke the words, everything was hidden from them, because they just didn't see, they didn't receive that. And even after he's risen, as you said, there's two disciples that are on this road to Emmaus, and they're downcast and they're saddened by mm-hmm. what has taken place.
Mm-hmm.
And very, probably very confused mm-hmm. and very afraid.
Didn't fit their concept right. of what the Messiah right. was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of, you know, when you were reading that, I was kind of thinking about something that, you know, we kind of hear in a sort of semi comical way, that sometimes people make God in their own image instead
right.
of God making us. Well,
right.
they had an image of,
right.
well, when Messiah comes, you know, that's going to be it for these Romans. We're going to be back in business here, and
right.
we're going to have the temple. We're going to build a palace. We're going to have a king. We're going to do all our own stuff.
Everything's going to be great.
Yeah, we're not really thinking about a Messiah that's going to be executed.
Right.
That doesn't really, make much sense.
Right. No, it doesn't.
Most people don't want their political military leaders to be executed by somebody.
Usually not a good thing.
Yeah. So they're downcast.
Right.
I mean, this would be, you know, it's kind of hard for us to understand, because we don't live in that kind of a situation, but mm-hmm. we can imagine how they felt.
Yeah. It's really helpful if you try and put yourself in their place.
Yes.
And understand that they didn't know all. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the prophecies, right.
They didn't have the books of the New Testament yet.
Right. And there wasn't a printing, press then either. No. So they didn't have their own, Torah.
Yeah. Nobody called them on their cell phone.
No, there was no text messaging and no.
Mary Magdalene couldn't get them on the cell phone.
You couldn't look up your favorite Bible scriptures on.
And apparently they had left right as these women had come back and, you know, said, well, he's not in the tomb. You know, maybe he's risen. What's going on? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like the last piece of information that they got.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if either of us, if that were you and I walking on that road, we would have been thinking like, what are they talking about? Right. Rose from the dead. I mean, that's nothing in your experience that somebody that you saw, you know, less, you know, 36 hours ago and you knew this was a dead person. There's nothing in your experience that said, well, now he's back and he's, you know, walking around.
Even though he raised Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus was in the tomb for what, three or four days?
4 days, yeah.
Yeah.
And these guys may have even seen that, right? You know, we don't know.
Yeah.
But so that's kind of the background. And you know, they're not skipping along the road saying, you know, Christ is risen.
No.
Yay, hallelujah, Christ is risen, hallelujah. They're trudging along saying, well, he's dead. And some people said maybe he rose from the dead, but I don't know. You know.
And, you know, if you think about it, how, you know, Jesus is risen from the dead, but yet it took this time.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't this, like, that everybody knew about it.
Yeah.
He slowly appeared to the disciples.
That's right.
To the women.
Yeah.
And his followers, you know, gradually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's really, you know,
I've often wondered about that. But
yeah, it's interesting.
I'm going to ask you a question about. I'll ask you a question about that later.
Okay.
So now Jesus himself comes along the road from behind them. He's coming from Jerusalem. Remember, they're walking away from Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes from behind them and joins them as they're walking, and they don't know who he is. So somehow he prevents them from recognizing him. Now that's, you know, sure not hard for them to do, for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know that it's him. So he somehow, you know, the scripture indicates that somehow he caused that to happen. Now, whether this was because he, you know, was in a glorified body now that was a little different, or he did something to them, you know, to their perceptions that, you know, they didn't recognize him. And, you know, the Gospel of Mark has a very, very short account of this. And it says something like, you know, Jesus was in another form, or it uses the words a different form or something like that. But bottom line is he's walking with them. They don't know that it's him. So that's all we know. And he says, so what are you guys talking about? And not only that, but he says, you guys are sad. You know, it's like, what are you talking about? And why are you guys so sad? Is basically what he says.
Mm-hmm.
So as he comes into the conversation, you know, he cares about the fact that they're sad. I mean, he mentions it, which is, you know, a nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't show up and start lecturing them. He doesn't, you know, tell him anything that's, you know, kind of direct and terse. He says, geez, you know, I'm sorry you guys are sad.
Right.
It's basically what he's saying. And, you know, what are you talking about? Now, this is kind of interesting. You know, it's like, what are you talking about? So, you know, the way he asked the questions, I'm thinking, you know, that he's kind of trying to get a feel for what they think. You know, where they are in their mind.
Yeah, real probing question.
Yeah, like where they are in their spiritual life, as we would say.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, what are you guys talking about? He's trying to get to, like, what do they know? What's their knowledge at this point? And, of course, he knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But what's their knowledge at this point? And, you know, as I was thinking about this, it made me think that, you know, we have to approach people where they are. And, you know, Steve and I, we've talked about this a lot. If you have some people that are not really very spiritually mature and are just kind of trying to, you know, get a grip on what's going on, you know, you can't go up to them and say, hey, do you guys go to a Pentecostal? Do you guys know about Holy Spirit power? And they're like, whoa, we didn't even know like anything about what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to kind of approach people at where they are.
Yeah.
And you can't talk way over their heads.
Right.
And he's going to take that and he's going to really develop an awesome Bible study.
Yeah.
Probably one of the coolest Bible studies ever. Well, we're ready for our first break already here on the Word 1220 and the Gift of Grace. And Steve and I will be back in just a couple minutes.
My soul, wait thou only, only upon God, for from